introduce you to our presentation of Understanding Your Dreams, an audio program developed by Audio Renaissance in conjunction with the Edgar Cayce Foundation. This tape and the accompanying Dream Symbol Dictionary were created to teach you some very specific techniques based on the work of Edgar Cayce that will help you interpret and work with your own dreams. Now, as your guide to the Edgar Cayce method of dream interpretation, let me introduce Mr. Orson Bean.
Dreams are a natural experience. It is nature, it is God's activity. His association with us, his desire to make a way for understanding. These words from Edgar Cayce offer a promise to you. A promise that your dreams are not mysterious or incomprehensible fantasies. Your dreams are a spiritual activity in which each night there's a chance for you to better understand your life. Edgar Cayce was probably the most documented and most accurate dream interpreter and psychic in American history. But there was no mumbo-jumbo or flowing robes about Edgar Cayce. No darkened rooms, no secret seances, and no spirit trumpets. Edgar Cayce was a very average individual in most respects. A loving husband, the father of two children, an eager gardener, a devoted Sunday school teacher, and a skilled professional photographer. Yet throughout his life, he also displayed one of the most remarkable psychic talents of all time. For over 40 years of his adult life, Cayce would lie down on a couch with his hands folded over his stomach and allow himself to enter a self-induced sleep-like state. Then, provided with the name and location of a person seeking help, and that person could be anywhere in the world, Cayce would speak in a normal voice and give answers to questions about any subject he was asked. These answers, which are called readings, were written down by a stenographer who kept one copy on file and sent another to the person who had requested the information. Today on file at the library of the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia, there are copies of 14,256 of Edgar Cayce's readings. These are available to the public and have been filed along with the follow-up reports from the same individuals who had asked for the readings. Together, this material represents the most impressive collection of psychic information ever obtained from a single source. For thousands of people, he diagnosed physical ailments and recommended natural remedies. Most of the people who received these clairvoyant medical readings communicated with Cayce only through the mail. They never met him. For hundreds and hundreds of these cases, there are documental reports which offer evidence of his accurate diagnoses and the success of his treatment suggestions. Where his readings can be checked for accuracy, one research study found that he was right 85% of the time. One of the most valuable things left to us by Edgar Cayce was a picture of how dreams work. His readings not only explain what a dream is, but they also show how to interpret dreams. On this tape, you'll learn the essence of Cayce's system of dream interpretation. First, 6 different ways of understanding what a dream is. Next, 8 practical steps for enhancing your recall of dreams. Then we'll explain the basic Cayce method of dream interpretation, which will teach you to identify the simple storyline of your dream. And after that, we'll deal in depth with 5 alternative ways of moving from your dream's simple storyline to a practical interpretation of what the dream means. Finally, we'll present some of Cayce's thoughts and insights into the psychic side of dreaming. Of course, no approach to dream study would be complete without a study of dream symbols. So we've enclosed with this tape a dictionary of those dream symbols, which were clearly interpreted by Edgar Cayce in one or more of his dream readings. Later on the tape, you'll learn an easy but effective tool for unlocking your own personal meaning for certain dream symbols. Now, to begin, let me start with the question that Edgar Cayce usually answered first in his readings. What really is a dream? Are the skeptics right when they claim that dreams are merely a residue of daytime brain activity? Are dreams really just entertaining fantasies with virtually no meaning? Not according to the Edgar Cayce readings. In fact, the readings offer us a way of understanding what a dream is by showing us what it does. If you think about it, that's often a very effective way of describing something, by illustrating what it does for us. For example, you might be hard-pressed to define a locomotive train by explaining the mechanical engineering principles that make it run, but you could probably describe the train by its functions. It travels along a predetermined pathway called a track. It hauls people or cargo. It can vary in length to fit the need, and so forth. In the same way, there are six ways that the Casey readings define a dream by showing what it can do for us. First, dreams give you real experiences in the spiritual world. Some of these experiences may be so potent that they make changes in you, which you feel in the conscious physical world. Second, most dreams provide a symbolic picture of the current conditions of your life. That picture is usually from a point of view quite different from the one you have in your waking life. But by seeing your own life from a new angle, you can get important insights about yourself and others. Third, some dreams offer a contact with God. Certainly not every dream is divinely inspired, but the Casey readings suggest that virtually everyone has occasional dreams in which they connect with the source of all life. Fourth, many dreams instruct you in lessons for better understanding. If you'll watch your dreams regularly, you'll see this teaching function at work. In some dreams, you may be learning the lesson the hard way, but it's often easier to do this in the dream state than it is to learn painfully the same lesson in waking life. A fifth definition of dreams offered from the Casey readings is that they provide us with the solution to problems. The problem can be abstract, such as how to solve a math equation, or very practical, like where to find those old photographs you misplaced, or how to make a sewing machine that works, which, by the way, is a real problem that was solved in a dream. The inventor of the sewing machine, Elias Howe, had been working for years to make a machine that would stitch fabric, but he couldn't get it to work properly. Until one night, he dreamed that he had been captured by savages who were going to kill him unless he came up with a solution. As he was being led off to his execution, he noticed that the warriors surrounding him were poking at him with spears that had eye-shaped holes near the points. And that's how he got the idea that solved the problem of making the sewing machine work. The plot to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde came to Robert Louis Stevenson in a dream. Frederick August Kekule dreamed of snakes biting their own tails and awoke having discovered one of the cornerstones of modern chemistry, that certain molecules are not open structures but rings. Many of Casey's dream interpretations described how dreams were really solutions to problems. For instance, a 22-year-old woman who had chronic pains in her side brought the following dream to Casey. It was raining starch, and I dreamed that I should go out in the rain of starch and put it on my side to ease the pain. Casey's interpretation was that contained within this dream was a pun on the word starch, and that it was providing a potential solution to her health problems. What was needed in her life was not the kind of starch that's used to wash clothes, but instead more starch in her diet. The readings promised that her physical ailment would be helped by the change in her diet. The sixth and final definition from the Casey readings is that dreams can give us a peek into the future. Although it may sound incredible to someone who hasn't studied his or her dreams on a regular basis, Edgar Casey stated, as a fact learned from that universal source of intelligence he was able to tap into during his dream state, that nothing of any importance will happen to us in waking life without our having had a dream about it first. Of course, that doesn't mean you'll recall those predictive dreams. Many people often don't remember if they've dreamed. In fact, one national survey has shown that the average person remembers only one or two dreams a week. However, there's convincing laboratory research that indicates all of us dream every night. Each of us goes through a number of different periods during sleep when dreams are likely to occur. These periods are called REM sleep, R-E-M for rapid eye movement, which is the measurable physical characteristic that identifies dream periods, and they usually occur about every 90 minutes. The longer REM or dream periods tend to be just before waking in the morning. So according to research, we all dream, and according to the Edgar Casey readings, some of these dreams are predictive of the future, but we often don't recall our dreams. And even if we do recall them, we may not recognize a dream as predictive because it may be predicting the future in a symbolic way. In order to understand your dreams, there are two challenges, not only learning to interpret their meaning, but also learning how to improve your dream recall. Let's deal with recall first. And the first step in improving recall is simply to ask yourself, why do I want to remember my dreams and work with them? Now, you may think this is an unnecessary question, and yet there are many possible reasons or motivations for dream study. Do you hope that dreams will help you change? Do you believe that dreams will teach you something of spiritual reality? Do you plan to have your dreams help you in making financial decisions? There may, in fact, be as many different possible purposes for working with dreams as there are people. Next, actually write down on a piece of paper your purpose for wanting to remember your dreams. Review this statement every month. Often people have found that once they start working with dreams and see more clearly how they work, their sense of purpose begins to change. The second step in improving dream recall involves making your dream life a big enough priority that you don't mind foregoing the late show in order to get to sleep early. As I mentioned before, research indicates that REM periods get longer and closer together as sleep progresses, since the longest dreams are likely to occur during the 6th, 7th, or 8th hours of sleep. Make sure you get a full night's sleep. It can be crucial to bringing dreams back to conscious remembrance. A third method is to listen to this tape or read something about dreams just before going to bed. The 15 to 30 minutes before sleep are highly influential in nighttime experience. By listening to this tape before going to sleep, you'll be indirectly giving yourself a pre-sleep suggestion, which your subconscious mind will work on. As you advance with your dream work, you'll be able to read parts from your own dream journal. Your dream journal is the fourth technique. Put paper, pen, or pencil and a small lamp or flashlight at your bedside. Having paper and pen nearby enhances recall in two ways. First, it's a reminder to your unconscious that you're serious about remembering dreams. And second, it provides you with a way to get some notes written down as soon as possible. If you wait 10 minutes or so to write down a dream, you'll find that more and more of the details are lost. In many ways, this is the simplest of dream recall enhancement techniques. Another method that many people have found to be a powerful influence to increase recall is the use of pre-sleep suggestions. We've already noted how some things serve indirectly as sleep suggestions, such as what you listen to or read before going to bed. An even more direct approach is to say to yourself, silently as you're falling asleep, "I will remember my dreams upon awakening." This should be repeated at least a dozen times, and is best done in the hypnagogic state, or that period of time in which you feel yourself beginning to drift off. It doesn't have to be the very last thought you have before falling asleep, but it'll work best if it's done in that halfway state between normal waking awareness and the sleep state. The thing that makes pre-sleep suggestion work is not the number of repetitions, but the sincerity of feeling behind the words. As you repeat this suggestion, feel your sincerity in wanting to remember your dreams. A sixth method for enhancing dream recall is to learn to awaken in the night to catch a dream. Research suggests that if you don't awaken soon after a dream is concluded, it's unlikely you'll remember it later. This means that we usually forget most of the dreams we have in the middle of the night, unless we wake up just after they occur. Of course, no one wants to wake up every 90 minutes. On the other hand, it's possible to convince yourself to wake once during the night, and this wakening will usually take place immediately after a dream's conclusion. The seventh technique you'll probably like a little better than waking yourself up in the middle of the night. It's lying in bed for a few extra minutes in the morning. You may experience that upon first awakening there's no dream recall, and if you jump up and begin the day's activities immediately, no dreams ever come back to mind. However, if you'll lie in bed for just 2 or 3 minutes and minimize any physical movements, you may find the fragments of a dream or entire dreams will begin to flood back into awareness. When you experiment with this method, get your body back into its most frequent sleep position. By your resuming that posture in bed, it may serve as a trigger to your mind to bring back a dream to your awareness. The Casey readings suggest one final method for enhancing recall, to get more active with your prayer and meditation life. There are some research findings which support the idea that greater involvement and commitment to prayer and meditation make it more likely that people will remember their dreams. Maybe this is because through prayer and meditation, we're spending time during the day communicating with our own unconscious selves. One Casey reading says clearly that anything we do that puts us more in touch with our spiritual ideals will have the effect of increasing our dream recall. Now you're ready to get into the heart of what it means to interpret a dream. Just how do you go about finding the meaning and help that's available within virtually every dream experience? A good place to begin is to look carefully at what's meant by interpretation. Many people hear the phrase dream interpretation and assume that means finding the hidden or coded message embedded in the dream experience. This kind of skillful deciphering of symbols is very often exactly what we'll want to do, but we also need to have a broader notion of what interpretation may involve. Sometimes it means just appreciating the experience the dream has given. It may require no deciphering, but simply recording and honoring the new feelings and attitudes which have been awakened simply by having gone through the dream. For other dreams, interpretation may not mean figuring out hidden meanings behind the symbols, but simply taking the message of the dream at face value. But most important, the Casey readings tell us that dream interpretation really means dream application. You haven't interpreted a dream simply by writing down in your dream journal what you think it meant. The real interpretation is putting it into practical experience. Casey's dream readings always taught that it was in doing something in response to the dream that the real understanding would come. In one dream reading, he put it this way: as the lessons which we gain from dreams are applied in the daily life, there comes more consciousness of the truths as are shown in the dreams. That is, in doing, there comes understanding. This kind of application will usually be immediately available to us, because for the most part, we dream about issues that concern us in waking life. Most any dream, when properly understood, will have some way of influencing the way you think or act or feel in a practical life situation. It may be a new attitude that your dream encourages you to adopt towards your child. It may be a new way of behaving in relationship to the person next door. It may involve changes in your diet, but if you keep in mind that dreams almost invariably deal with the very same issues that concern you in waking life, it often makes it easier to find an appropriate interpretation. Our first interpretation tool is based on this very idea. This technique is called finding the simple storyline. It involves identifying the essential features of the plot of your dream. Ask yourself, how can I briefly summarize in simple terms the key parts of the story in my dream? Once you find that simple storyline, you can look for a part of your waking life where that same pattern seems to fit. It's a way of simply and quickly finding the part of your waking life with which the dream is probably concerned. In a moment, we'll look at a number of different examples. But first, let's consider what a simple storyline looks like. First and most important, it's short. It may be as brief as, I'm running away from something, or I get stuck because I didn't decide in time. In a single sentence, you'll be summarizing the essence of the dream's plot. In writing the simple storyline, focus on the action and any descriptors or qualifiers that seem especially significant. In other words, pay particular attention to the verbs in the story or any adverbs or adjectives that seem particularly important. As you write simple storylines for your own dreams, resist the temptation to try to interpret the dream at the same time. A simple storyline merely restates in the barest form a summary of what actually happened in the dream. Don't try to jump ahead to the moral of the story or its interpretation quite yet. If you have a dream that's lengthy and has several scenes, it's best to break it down into parts and write a simple story sentence for each scene. For most dreams, there's not just one correct simple storyline. You may be able to look at the dream from several different points of view and come up with more than one good statement. Let's look at some examples of how this simple storyline can be found. Here's a dream as one woman recalled it. I'm in an airport halfway through my trip waiting for a connecting flight. I expect that the connecting flight will leave at 10:15 a.m. I assume I have plenty of time and that I know what airline this connecting flight is on. But when 10:15 arrives, there's no plane at the gate, and only then do I look at my ticket. I've made a wrong assumption. In fact, it's another airline I'm booked on, and that plane leaves at 10:20. I'm in great despair because I don't even know where that airline is located in the airport. I've almost no time in which to make it. I hurriedly grab my luggage, which I notice has new handles, and my garment bag, leaving behind a container of trash that was sitting beside me. Now, how could the dreamer state the simple storyline of this experience? In a single sentence, how could she summarize the basic thought, focusing on the key action in the story? Don't try to interpret the dream yet. Simply restate its most essential ingredients. In fact, why don't you pause the tape for a moment and jot down on a piece of paper what you think the simple storyline of this dream would be? Now, here's the wording that the dreamer came up with. Halfway through something, a wrong assumption leads to being rushed and hurried. Of course, that's not the only possible wording for a good simple storyline, but did your guess sound something like this? Here's a second dream by the same woman. The dreamer recalls she was in her own backyard cutting down a tree. She had made half the cut and was hesitant about cutting it the rest of the way. Then she realized that the wind might come and blow it over if she didn't go ahead and finish the task. She got ready to finish the cutting, but the tree fell over on its own into the yard. There was a brick wall around the tree, and as it fell, it broke up the wall into individual bricks. She then began to pick up the individual bricks and stack them in another area of the yard that she'd prepared. How might this dreamer state the simple storyline of the second dream? Again, if you wish, pause the tape and write down the essence of this dream story. Now, here's the wording the dreamer came up with. Something I'm halfway through removing falls on its own, and I salvage some of the pieces. There again, we see the dreamer has not yet interpreted the dream, but has found the basic elements of the plot. In both of these cases, the step which follows having found the simple storyline will be to look at what's happening in waking life and see if there's any relationship, situation, or condition where that same theme is going on. For example, with the first dream, the dreamer might ask herself whether there's some change she's making in her life. But the dream warns her she's made a critical wrong assumption that's going to cause a problem for her. In the second dream, there are certain similarities. Once again, something is partially completed and falls on its own. The dreamer might ask herself where in her waking life she's halfway through removing something, and is warned that unless she completes the task on her own, it's going to finish itself without her efforts. When she's able to identify just what that might be, she then may be able to interpret some of the other symbols. For example, the meaning of the bricks may become clear. What valuable pieces can be salvaged for building something new later on? These two dreams also illustrate the value of working with more than one dream at a time. Many people skilled in dream interpretation have found that working with dreams in a series is most effective, particularly when we can begin to see repeated words or phrases in the simple storylines we write. This may be showing us the way in which our dreams are looking at a single problem from several different points of view. The Edgar Cayce readings often seem to use the simple storyline in interpreting dreams for people. For example, one man brought this dream to Edgar Cayce. He was going to play golf with his wife and a business associate. His two companions made their opening tee shots, and only then did the dreamer discover he had left his golf clubs in the locker room and had to go back for them. He realized it would be too late by the time he got back with his clubs because his companions were going to have to go ahead without him. They couldn't hold up all the other people waiting to start just because of him. He was unhappy about this because he wasn't comfortable with having his wife play golf alone with this person. In interpreting this dream for the man, the Cayce readings went right to the simple story. It might best be worded this way: things go wrong because I'm not prepared. The Cayce reading was able to show the dreamer how this very theme was quite relevant to a number of conditions in his waking life. Now, what do you do if you're not immediately able to see how the simple storyline of your dream fits your waking life? There are several helpful approaches that you'll want to try. First, consider whether or not your dream is one in which a problem is being presented to you. Based on the simple storyline you've identified, you can ask yourself questions like these. Does the dream present an adversary? Does the dream show an attempted solution that fails or that creates further problems? If it seems to you that a particular dream is in fact a problem presentation one, try asking yourself these questions. Not all of them will be relevant, but the answer to just one or two may provide an important insight into the meaning of your dream. What is the problem in the dream? What is given in the dream as the cause of the problem? How does the person in the dream seem to be handling the problem? What mistakes is the person with the problem making? What is keeping the person with the problem from seeing the solution? What is the first step to finding the solution? Let's look at a second way in which we may be able to fit the simple storyline to something happening in waking life. This approach is used to identify compensatory dreams, dreams which come to balance our extremes. The human mind operates by a law of equilibrium. Whenever we go to an extreme in some way in our conscious waking lives, the unconscious mind will tend to produce the opposite extreme as an impulse to keep things in balance. Suppose, for example, you went to the extreme of always repressing every bit of anger towards people. This might produce an expression of the opposite extreme from your unconscious self, particularly in your dreams. You might start having dreams of a violent temper. You'd probably be totally perplexed upon awakening from such a dream because that isn't at all the way you normally relate to people. But if you were to use this interpretation approach, you might quickly see its meaning. Suppose the simple storyline of your violent temper dream was this: I'm letting out uncontrollable anger towards someone. Ask yourself this question about the simple storyline. Does it show an extreme of some sort? Well, certainly it does, extreme anger. Could it be that this dream experience of great anger has come to rebalance you from having been at the opposite extreme in waking life? The opposite would be the extreme of totally suppressing all forms of anger. If you're honest with yourself, you might recognize that this is exactly what you've been doing in daily living. The dream is not an invitation to start blowing up at everyone who irritates you. It's a call to find the balance point. The application of such a dream would be to find a point of equilibrium or moderation in this part of your life. Now, this is not exactly what's referred to as wish fulfillment. We'll deal with that later on. This is slightly different. Two more examples will further clarify how this works. A 21-year-old woman once brought to Casey a dream which greatly disturbed her. She'd been working carefully on a diet and had virtually eliminated sweets. However, she had dreamed that she was sitting at a table eating enormous quantities of cake, pastry, pies, and cookies. A brief but effective wording for the simple storyline of this dream would be consuming a lot of sweets. Casey's interpretation of this dream was that it had come to balance her. From the point of view of her physical body, her recent decision to immediately eliminate virtually all sweets from her diet had seemed like an extreme condition. Her physical body was producing this dream experience as a call to balance or equilibrium. In other words, there is clearly an extreme in this dream. That extreme is overindulgence in eating sweets. The opposite extreme would be to eat absolutely no sweets, which was exactly what she'd been doing recently in her life. Casey concluded the interpretation by suggesting that she eat more sweets, but in moderation. Presumably, if she wanted to eliminate sweets from her diet, she should do it by tapering off gradually. Another example of this approach is found in Casey's interpretation of a dream for a 27-year-old man who was a successful broker on the New York Stock Exchange. He dreamed of talking to his colleagues on the floor of the exchange, but trouble arose because of his style and approach of conversing. He'd been very lighthearted with these colleagues and had spoken like a smart aleck. Casey's interpretation was that this dream showed the opposite extreme from his typical behavior on the job. In normal waking life, he was too reserved and old-fashioned. In other words, the dream came to give him an experience of the other side of the coin. The fact that trouble arose in the dream over his playful behavior was not something that should concern him. It was simply a reflection of his conscious fear that he'd be misunderstood if he ever stepped out of his reserved, cautious manner. The dream was therefore a call to find greater balance between the two extremes. A third approach for fitting the simple storyline to your waking life is to consider the possibility that your dream is a physical diagnosis or a health warning. You may ask yourself, does the simple storyline fit something about my health? Here's an example from the Edgar Cayce readings, where this was the case. A 21-year-old woman brought to Edgar Cayce this experience. I dreamed I was going in to swim from a rickety platform, very unsubstantial in its structure. As I jumped in, or tried to dive in, I made a belly whopper. That is, I landed on my stomach, and it hurt. One wording for this simple storyline would be, I jump into something from a shaky beginning and I get hurt. The dreamer might well have asked herself the following two questions if she'd been able to identify on her own the simple storyline. What is it about my own life that's shaky or unsubstantial? And what is it I'm thinking about jumping into or getting into in my life? From Cayce's interpretation of her dream, we can see that she might easily have answered these two questions for herself. She knew very well that her own physical health was not very substantial or balanced at the time. And she knew that she and her husband were trying to conceive a child. In other words, she was contemplating jumping into motherhood. There was one further clue that might have alerted her to the physical health nature of this dream. Although it's not always true, often a health dream will have a part of the body which plays the key role in the dream. In this example, her belly region is directly involved. In fact, in her dream, she received an injury there. Cayce interpreted the dream to say that her physical health was so shaky at the present time that should she get pregnant, she'd very likely not be able to carry the child. In other words, she'd have an injury in the belly region in the form of a miscarriage. In actual life, she went ahead and got pregnant and soon thereafter miscarried the child. The setting is one other clue that may help you move from the simple storyline to the recognition of its being a health or physical dream concern. Often, though not always, health dreams will have as their setting a healthcare facility, such as a doctor's office or a hospital. In addition, the Cayce readings point out the way in which many of our dreams about diet have a setting in the kitchen or dining area. Additionally, we can note that many dreams having to do with physical cleansing may have part or all of the dream set in a bathroom. A fourth approach for fitting the simple storyline to your waking life is to look for ways in which fears or desires from the conscious life may project themselves into the dream state, particularly when the simple storyline for your dream indicates upsetting or troublesome conditions. You should ask yourself this question. Does the simple storyline fit something I fear might happen to me? For example, one woman brought to Edgar Cayce a dream in which her husband was abandoning her. Worded more succinctly, a simple storyline might be, someone is leaving me, or my marriage is ending. Edgar Cayce's interpretation of the dream was that it merely portrayed her fears. In fact, he said her marriage was growing stronger, but as the relationship deepened, there began to be a fear within her concerning her future should she ever lose her husband. She'd begun to appreciate the marriage so much that something in her was saying, what would ever become of me if I didn't have him in my life? So rather than the dream being predictive of something about to happen, it reflected a fear that she may not have been conscious of. This dream, more than anything else, came to call her attention to the way in which the fear was growing and it needed to be dealt with. In a similar way, the Cayce dream interpretations show that sometimes we dream of something simply because of our desires or wishes that it might happen. Dreams that may first look to be spiritual guidance might instead, on more careful examination, be seen as merely wish fulfillment. In the area of romance, many people have tried to use dreams to help get guidance for making a decision about marriage. One occurrence that has been observed on many occasions is the dream of someone who greatly admires another person from a distance and deeply wishes that their admiration and love would be returned. Such a person may have a dream in which they're marrying or already married to this person they desire so greatly. Such a dream is often taken as spiritual guidance from God to pursue the romance, when in fact it may only be a wish fulfillment dream. Here we must be willing to be quite honest with ourselves. Genuine guidance dreams rarely, if ever, come simply to restate something that we already know or understand consciously. Since our dreams come from the unconscious, they're most helpful when they bring us insight or lessons beyond what we already grasp in our waking life. This is not to say that dreams can't play an important role in making decisions about marriage, family relations, vocation, and dozens of other topics. But for the time being, as we try to fit the simple storyline to some part of our lives, let's look for ways in which it may simply reflect a conscious desire and be a wishful dream or a dream that reflects fear. A fifth possibility is to watch for the way in which a simple storyline may be a play on words. For example, one person had a short dream in which she was wading out into ocean water, expecting to be able to walk out quite far without difficulty. To the dreamer's surprise, she seemed to step off a shelf and suddenly find herself in water so deep she could no longer touch bottom with her foot. She awakened in a panic. A simple storyline for this dream might be, "I get into something over my head." Here, the wording for the simple storyline might well be a play on words. She should look at the various situations in her waking life and try to recognize some situation where she already has or may be about to get in deeper than she really has competency for handling. Another woman dreamed that she was in some kind of trouble and found herself in a hospital operating room where a surgeon was operating on her. Her family members were standing around the room watching with concern on their faces. As the surgeon began to operate, he was surprised to discover that the layers of her skin were especially thick as he began to cut through them. In formulating the simple storyline for this dream, she wrote, "Someone trying to help me discovers I have thick skin." Here again, we see a likely play on words. She took the dream to mean that in her relationship with family members, particularly in situations where she was easily having her feelings hurt, she should discover her own capacity to be more thick-skinned and less reactive to little hurts. It isn't always just the simple storyline that may have a play on words. Frequently, you may find in your dreams that certain symbols constitute a pun. For example, dreaming of a pickle which you might eat might easily refer to some difficult situation you've gotten yourself into. Or dreaming of a bug might simply refer to some problem that's bugging you. The symbol of bread, though it could have many other meanings, might sometimes refer to the slang expression for money. It can be fun to work with our dream symbols, each time checking to see whether a pun is being presented. It's truly amazing how clever the source of our dreams can be sometimes. So far, we've looked at some of the skills for interpreting dreams using the simple storyline and fitting it to some part of our daily life. But you'll also want to work with another aspect of dream interpretation, understanding dream symbology. Even when you find a part of your life where the simple storyline of a dream fits, you'll still want to work with interpreting the individual symbols of that dream because they'll help you clarify its meaning. Or if you're unable to find a way in which a simple storyline fits some part of your life, working with the symbols in the dream may help unlock its meaning. What is a dream symbol? It's the best possible way that your unconscious mind could present to you some deep, profound truth which you don't yet fully understand with your conscious mind. There are several important phases of that definition. First of all, it's the best possible way that something could have been communicated to you. Often we may marvel at the subtle details that a dream offers us through a symbol, and yet the choice of the symbol in all its characteristics is not random or arbitrary. There's something deeply purposeful about why the symbol was presented and the way in which it was presented. The definition points out further that symbols represent truths that we don't yet fully understand. In other words, the dream and its symbology come to reveal new understandings to us. Some dream symbols have universal meaning. They're what's been called archetypal symbols. For example, water often symbolizes the source of all life. Dreaming of your own mother may be a universal symbol for that instinct in us all to nurture and take care of things. But be careful with these dream symbols, especially those that can have universal meanings. Those same symbols may in other dreams have very personalized meanings for you. Water could instead symbolize your fears if you can't swim and are afraid of water. Or it may represent your body's need to drink more water every day. In a similar way, the dream symbol of your mother may be a universal one, but it may be more personal. Any dream character could symbolize a personality trait that you see in that person, but which is also in you. Or the dream character may be literal. The symbol of your mother in a dream may be a psychic dream about your mother. The enclosed dream symbology dictionary can give you helpful clues to interpret your own symbols. It can teach you about universal archetypal images, and it can list possible meanings that are more personal. But don't stop with the symbol dictionary. Discover your own personal associations with these dream images. One good technique is called amplification. It's a form of free association in which you let descriptive words and feelings pop into your mind. The best way to describe how the amplification technique works is to present an example. In one of the dreams we studied earlier, the dreamer was cutting down a tree in her backyard, which eventually fell over and crumbled a brick wall. The dreamer then collected the individual bricks for possible future use. Suppose this was your own dream. In addition to finding the simple storyline of this dream, you'd want to work with the individual symbols as well. The symbol of a brick is an important one here. Rather than immediately turning to a symbol dictionary, you might first try to find some of your own associations and meanings using the amplification technique. First, you'd ask yourself, what is a brick? You'd write down as many descriptive words as immediately come to your mind. For example, a brick is like a stone. A brick is hard. A brick is usually red. A brick has a rectangular face. Then you might ask, what does a brick do? It builds on other bricks. It makes strong walls. It creates support structures. It gives an appearance of permanence. And then you might ask yourself, what does a brick remind me of? The answers might be, it reminds me of the place where I work, a brick building. It reminds me of my childhood when I collected bricks. It reminds me of accidentally breaking a window with a brick as a teenager. A brick reminds me of something or someone who is hard-headed or unyielding. Next, you might also ask, in amplifying this symbol, what do I like about a brick? The answers might be, it's easily handled and not heavy. I like the way it's long-lasting. You don't have to have a lot of equipment to build with bricks. I like the way bricks make rather attractive structures. And finally, to amplify this symbol, you might ask yourself, what do I dislike about a brick? The answers could be, it's rather useless by itself. It requires other bricks. It chips easily. It doesn't come in many colors. A brick is dangerous if thrown. Now, certainly not all of those associations will be meaningful in trying to interpret the dream. What may happen, however, in the course of amplifying the symbol, is that a few associations that come to mind have a certain feeling of rightness. They may be accompanied with a sense of aha. In amplifying a symbol in this way, and getting a dozen or more free associations, there may be only one or two significant things that come up. It's important in using this amplification technique to do it with a sense of playful adventure. At first, the technique will probably work best by jotting down your associations on a piece of paper. Now, before moving on to look at two other special kinds of dreams, it's well to take note of an important principle about dream interpretation. Often, as you work on understanding one or more of your dreams, you're likely to find that for a single dream, more than one good interpretation occurs to you. How are you going to decide which of the possibilities is correct? In such a case, the answer usually is that no single interpretation is the right one. Instead, the dream is probably presenting to you multiple levels of meaning. To your intellectual mind, this may be nonsense. It's hard for us rationally to understand how multiple messages could be possible. And yet, dreams are a product of a deep, complex, and profoundly wise aspect of your mind. A single dream may speak simultaneously to you about conditions with your physical body, difficulties in an interpersonal relationship, and the likelihood of some future event. Because multiple meanings are possible, it's very important that you don't stop your dream interpretation work as soon as you've discovered one thing that fits. Keep pursuing all the possibilities. Instead of asking yourself, what one thing does this dream mean, be more concerned with finding all that the dream could be communicating to you. Here's a good rule of thumb for you in working with your own dream interpretations. Don't stop when you hit on a helpful interpretation of one of your dreams. Keep working with it. Try out all the various tools that have been described, and to the best of your ability, find out all that the dream has to offer. You may also discover that it's often in retrospect that you're able to see additional interpretations. Only one meaning may come to your mind the morning after, but if you'll write your dream down, you may find that in looking back over your journal, new insights will also emerge. Let's turn our attention now to the way in which some dreams present themselves to us as actual experiences. These dreams don't really need interpretation. The lesson or meaning of the dream is gathered simply by having gone through the experience itself. Peak spiritual experiences fit this description. Although these kinds of dreams may only happen infrequently, when they do, they come with such power that we're likely to feel their impact for weeks or even months to follow. A 32-year-old man brought Edgar Cayce the following dream for interpretation because it had been such a powerful spiritual experience. In the first scene of the dream, he saw a brilliant light which seemed to be living because it spoke to him. Then it changed in form, and he saw the Christ standing before him in a flowing robe. The dreamer felt his identity merge with that of the Christ, and he was filled with new understandings about the meanings of the Christ's teachings. Then he reported to Cayce that the first scene faded and a second one emerged. Now he found himself at an expensive Florida resort hotel. He was listening to some friends make sexual jokes about women, and he joined in, too. Suddenly he saw the Christ again, this time walking nearby and headed away through a gate. On the one hand, he knew he should follow, but he chose to stay with his wealthy companions and kept talking about his own personal accomplishments in the world. Cayce's interpretation of this dream required no simple storyline or symbol interpretation. He said that this had been a genuine spiritual encounter with the Christ, but the second part of the dream had been a direct lesson in itself. Often in his waking life, the man chose to impress others with his social status rather than follow the spiritual ideals he knew were more important. Another kind of dream which we find interpreted in the Edgar Cayce readings is the psychic dream. It may be telepathic, that is, mind-to-mind communication, or it may be precognitive or prophetic. Let's consider first how you may, with great regularity, dream about the key interpersonal relationships of your life. Most likely, you're having telepathic dreams with great frequency. The point of view of the Cayce readings on this subject differs from most other modern dream theories. Many teachings about dream interpretation say that every person who appears in your dream simply symbolizes some aspect of yourself. And whereas there are many examples of this in Cayce's interpretations, there are just as many instances where the reading says that dream telepathy is at work. In deciding whether or not the dream is psychically telling you something about this person, or whether it's entirely about yourself, keep in mind one important principle. In some telepathic dreams, the character depicted is literally that person, and also the action of the dream is more or less literal. However, in other telepathic dreams, even though the character is literal, the action of the dream is really symbolic. A simple example will show you the difference between these two cases. Here are two brief dreams by the same dreamer. Both were brought to Edgar Cayce for interpretations by a 31-year-old man. In the first, the dreamer gives a check to his mother for $500 and dates the check one day ahead. Later in the dream, some trouble comes up about the check. In the second dream, the dreamer is at a party with his mother and many friends at the home of a business associate. A small fire breaks out to which he pays little attention until it grows and assumes more dangerous proportions. Then he begins trying to stamp it out. Soon everyone becomes frightened and tries to extinguish the blaze. Cayce interpreted both dreams to be psychic and said that they dealt with the dreamer's relationship with his mother. In the first dream, the dreamer's mother represented herself, and the simple storyline of his having difficulties with her concerning money was also literal. The reading warned that in his relationship with his mother, unless he was more careful with how he handled financial transactions with her, difficulties would arise in their relationship. Cayce interpreted the second dream also as literally concerning the mother, but in this case, the storyline in the dream was symbolic. The fire represented the anger which his mother had inside herself, and the dream called his attention to the need for being more sensitive and attentive to the problem which this anger could create for both of them. As you examine some of your own dreams, looking for ones which psychically tune into another person and your relationship with that individual, you may notice that some of these psychic dreams have a precognitive or future-oriented flavor. Edgar Cayce suggests that nothing of any importance happens to us but that we dream of it first. This is true for upcoming events in our personal relationships, our health, our finances, our jobs, and any other aspects of living. If, in fact, we dream of the future so regularly, why does it so often take us by surprise? Probably because we usually don't remember these precognitive dreams, or because they're not usually literal, but instead symbolic, and we fail to see their deeper meanings. With most any dream, you should always ask yourself, could this dream foreshadow something that's most likely to happen in the future? Of course, the future is not fixed. A precognitive dream is really just an indication of what's likely to be ahead if things follow the course they're currently on. We always have free will, and a person who's watching his or her dreams may find that free will can change what would otherwise have been a very harmful or disturbing experience. This completes our look at the basic steps of dream interpretation from the psychic material of Edgar Cayce. Certainly, there is much, much more for you to learn about the meaning of dreams, because even those who have studied dreams for years keep on discovering new meanings for their dream symbols. But you're now well equipped with practical tools for tapping this great resource within yourself. Your dreams will be like a trusted friend to you. They'll offer wise advice about practical life challenges. They'll be honest with you and lovingly show you how your own shortcomings and weaknesses can be understood and changed. Your dreams will even look with you into the future and help you prepare for the opportunities that await you. Who could afford to be without a friend like that? In the days and weeks ahead, you'll have the chance to discover for yourself the promise from the Cayce readings that dreams can lead you to greater health, prosperity, happiness, and spiritual understanding.
This is Bill Hartley once again, and as you finish listening to this presentation of Understanding Your Dreams, I'd like to encourage you to further your investigation of the life and work of Edgar Cayce through the other audio renaissance tapes developed in association with the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And for those of you who are particularly interested in working with your dreams, let me recommend that you listen to our production of Controlling Your Dreams by Dr. Stephen LaBerge, the author of the book Lucid Dreaming. Thank you.
This has been an Audio Renaissance presentation.